Well, good morning and welcome. I greet each one of you in Jesus' name. We've already had some good teaching on families. And thank you for that, Brother Jeff. Turn with me to Acts chapter 21. And I want to read a verse here in Outstart. So Acts 21. Our title this morning is Family Life That Builds Church. As I mentioned last evening, I gave my mind to, well, can I find places in the Bible where we just get a little snapshot of family? And I felt like I was thinking through those. You know, there was a scene somewhere where there was wives and children along. And here it is in Acts 21 and verse 5. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Just think about that. So here we have Paul and those who were accompanying with him, and they've ended up in the city of Tyre because that's where the ship was unloading. And so they found disciples there. They found Christians there. And they've spent 7 days with them. It says there in verse 4. And they told them through the Spirit, don't go up to Jerusalem. But Paul was set to go to Jerusalem. And so here we have, it's time for the ship to sail. And so we have the families getting together that morning, that afternoon, that evening, whatever it was. And they walk out through the streets. And they're accompanying this beloved teacher, the Apostle Paul, and those that were with him, on out of the city, down to the shore, and there they said their farewells, and they knelt together and prayed. And I really like that picture, because what we're seeing is family. You know, dads and husbands that said, hey, come on, come along, let's go. Let's go down here to the river. Let's go over here with, let's meet up with the rest of the church. And so it's a picture of the early church and their involvement and wives and children and how they cared about this the Apostle Paul and his teaching and preaching among them. You know, as I thought about a church life and as I think about community, because, well, that's part of what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, we talk about family. We talk about church family. And this morning we've met as church family. And we use that word family pretty broadly. We talk about the family of God. We're talking about the big picture of God's family in the earth. And so we use this term in a lot of ways. But here we're thinking about the church family and how that we, in our family units, build up the church. And as I was preparing this message, we had just got done cleaning our school property, just getting it ready for school. We share it with another school and another church family, and so we do it together. And I thought about it as we were doing that. What are our children seeing in all of this? Thinking about building church, what are we teaching them? What are they learning? I mean, is there value there? Are they seeing something that is worth reaching out for? Are they seeing something that's worth investing in? Are they seeing good relationships and a good time? And, you know, just those healthy things that make up relationships. Are they seeing that? And I believe they were, and I hope that they are. But we have a great responsibility as fathers and mothers and as families to show a way forward, to lead our little ones into adulthood and into their own lives of responsibility. And in the context of church, we're thinking about it in all those contexts. Are we facing any pressures today? It's a thought that came to me. Are we facing pressures today? Absolutely. You think about church, you think about this family? Absolutely. The pressure to disassemble, to not be a part, to break up this unit. To break up this family. There's a whole host of things we could be doing today, right? And most of our society is doing that. And if there is some attendance, it's sporadic and so on. This generation is facing pressures unique to our day and age, I do believe. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, are we building church with our family? How important is the church? And why is it important? How does family life fit into and complement the church? How does church fit into and complement family life? Are we making it? Are we passing on a tradition, a culture, a heritage that the next generation has reason for keeping? Are we doing that? So those are questions that are worth asking. I mean, interestingly enough, what we're doing here this morning is a tradition, it is a culture, it is a heritage, and we've chosen to commit to that with our families and make that choice, I think, right? I mean, see, because we're here this morning doesn't mean that we're really building this into our families, because it takes that personal commitment and the our own spirit and attitude about this as a husband and wife. And as we build that into our families, it's going to make a difference as to whether or not our families are going to build church. So we're going to sort of look at both sides of this a little as we go along. And I'd like to try to answer some of these questions as we go through this message. But first of all, we need to think about church. Family life that builds church. What is church? What is church? And I know that I like to look at these kind of questions because we need to understand what church is. Because so much of our actions, our commitments, our choices come out of what we believe. What we believe. What is church? What is it? So let's turn with me to Hebrews. Let's just start there. Hebrews chapter 9. I have about 3 or 4 points that I just wanted to lay down here again this morning about church. Hebrews and chapter 9. I'm sorry, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. There's actually some practical teaching in here about the choice to assemble. We'll get to that later. But right now we're pulling from these verses what it is that what church is. What is this? It is the assembly. And I know we use this word church loosely, and it is a pet peeve of mine. From time to time we have this conversation. But the church is this gathering right here. And it's just, we use the term church, and we sort of talk about this building. Well, we're going to church. Well, what are we picturing? Are we picturing this assembly, or are we picturing the building? Well, I know you can hardly separate it, but it's important that we do. The church is the body of Christ. It is the assembly of the saints. So important. And let's remember that. And so here we are. It's a place for the redeemed by Christ to enter in. And it talks about it. This is a new way. It is a living way. And so the writer here in Hebrews was to the Hebrews. It was writing to the Jewish community without apology, making this point very clear. This is a new and a living way. I know it's been a couple of thousand years since this was written, but this morning we do well to remember that this is the new and living way that we enter into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. We lift it high. We love it. We embrace it. We praise God for it. We rejoice in it. If you're thinking about family life that's going to build church, what does our family understand about church? And so we do well just to refresh in our minds this morning to lift church high. Lift the assembly high. Lift this opportunity high. Love it and embrace it and praise God in it. And it's going to do so much for us as we get into how we help to build it. So the church, as we think about this assembly, it's a place of community. It's a place of support. It's a place to build up. I know there's times when we talk to each other and say, now, Tim, that thing about you or your family or your spirit about this or your attitude. And we may at times, and we do need to help each other up. We need to lift each other up. We need to help each other to grow. And growing doesn't always feel good. You ever hear about growing pains? You know, it's interesting how our children go through those phases, and it seems like you get this, what seems like, it usually shows up at about 9:30 at night, right? You know, about the time you lay, put that little girl to bed, that 5-6-year-old, and she's, oh, my leg hurts. Where did that hurt come from? You know, you finally look it over, and you say, well, it must be growing pains, you know? And so there's pains that come with growth. And so those kinds of things do happen in this. But let's never forget, church, the assembly, is community, it's brotherhood, it's sisterhood, it's family. Amen. And we embrace that, and we thank God for that. It's a place to grow, as I mentioned, and to produce. We find ways to serve. And I know our service must go beyond this building, must go beyond this assembly. It must. And it will and it should. Again, just in these verses, the church is a place, as we see here, it is a place where we enter boldly because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It made such a change. The Holy of Holies was laid open for a reason, and all who will may come. So what else is there? Turn with me to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. The church is the assembly. Here we see the words used here, the house of God. 1 Timothy 3, 15 through 16. But if I tarry long, verse 14, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is the church, it says here, of the living God. The word church is used here. The ecclesia, the gathering, this souls, us, are the church, have become the church. We have become the church of the living God. And it goes on to say, and the picture that it's painting here is that we are the church, we are the building. And it's a comparison, or the depiction is there was the temple, and now there is the church of God, the building of God, the saints, the souls. It's a beautiful, I mean, when you think about that temple of gold and stone and all of that, and God has moved his focus away from it to this. And that's what these verses are teaching us. If you notice also, Ephesians brings this out. Ephesians 2 actually explores this thought further. 19 through 22, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's right. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your language, your ethnicity, your bank account, there's just a whole host of things. You name it. And just they all just come down here. And they all get leveled out. And right here we see it in 19:3. You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And here there's some more thoughts about this building, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so there it is. that comparison again of what God is building in the individual souls of men and women, and a church that is being built up, that just that temple and the magnificence of it, as this writer was writing this, it still stood, was being that the focus of God had turned away, and it was into this building that we see here this morning. Yes, the church of Jesus Christ is esteemed that highly by God. And so let's rejoice in that this morning. What an opportunity. What a privilege. And so I encourage us to lift up our heads, not out of pride, but in confidence and assurance that we have become the sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, it tells us. I don't understand that language. I don't know the deepness of it. But it's told to us for a reason, for us to claim it and to believe in that. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so the church, its stability, the church is rest. It's a place of rest. It's a place of light. It's a strong place. It's a place where we can come in from a restless and tempestuous world. That's what the church is to be. And we praise God for that. And so now, how is it that we build this up? How is it that our families complement, nurture, and build up the church of Jesus Christ? How can our family life do that? I'd like to try to just consider some practical points here throughout the rest of the message here this morning. These institutions, so we're thinking about family life, and we went through that last night. We laid that foundation, and we've just briefly laid the foundation of the church. And so here we have these two institutions, family and church. Both are strong and independent, as they should be. But they need each other. These institutions, both strong and independent as they are, need each other. The church needs strong families, and families need strong churches. We should be careful to never set these institutions against each other. A godly church will never tear down godly family life. Never will. Godly family life will never be a threat to the godly church. But rather, godly church is going to understand we need it. We need strong dads. We need strong moms. We need strong families. Or this assembly as we know it is going to die. The church of God isn't going to. But as we know it here. So how can these institutions, the family and the church, complement each other, build each other up? How can we make the church stronger? Well, I think the burden of these messages this weekend was to encourage us as fathers to be stronger, to lead better, to do more, and as mothers, the same. And certainly I needed the studies myself by all means. And also, as we think about this morning, we want to make sure the church is a place where truth is taught and love and brotherhood are cultivated. And so let's continue to think about how family life can complement and build the church. And so, as I mentioned, there's some practical things I'd like to try to look at. Number one is we build the church when we allow God to give us a family. God blessed us with 8 children. We have some families in our church that have biologically been able to bring 2 children into the world, and they would wish for more. My brother was blessed with 1 child. They've had the privilege to adopt numerous, and that's a wonderful thing as well. But God gives opportunity, by and large, normal biological abilities to produce a child, to produce children. And you know, as I thought about family, just a little scene came to mind, and I went back looking for it, and I found it in Genesis 33, verse 5. And it was when Isaac was coming to meet Esau, and he lifted, or was it Jacob? Ooh. Genesis 33, getting my timeline. Which one was it, brother? It was Jacob and Esau. Thank you. Yes. And Jacob lifted up his, Esau actually lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with thee?" And he said, "These are the children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Graciously given thy servant. You know, our society says a perfect family is two children, one of each. One of each. That's what they say. And again, I'm just going to stop for a moment and I'm so impressed with the what God sows into the heart and spirit of man and woman. They want children. That's interesting. They want children. They want posterity. There's a desire for that. And even though that may be the most ungodly person, but as they go along through life, at some point, a man would like to see a son or daughter. Wonder what that would be like. And you'll see different levels of that. But I'm amazed. I'm impressed by that. It is, again, what God has planted into the hearts of men and women. But it often seems that God has other plans for us if we will allow Him. It's not just going to be one or two, but it might be five, and it might be eight, and it might be, in our case, it's eight, it might be 12. I don't know that. But this morning I'd like to encourage us. This idea, family life that builds church is going to be family life that welcomes children into their homes. We have an old brother that is a member at 4th Avenue, Brother Phil. He's 70 years old, and he came from a life of not honoring God with his life. But in his late years, right here towards the end of his life, he has reached out for truth, and God has given it to him. And he's a wonderful brother in our church family. But he looks around, and another older gentleman just showed up in the community and came to visit church. He's 92 years old, and he was a pastor of a small church for many years. And both of those men have said a very similar thing. They looked around and said, "Wow, this church isn't dying anytime soon." You ever been to 4th Avenue? Even if you just listen to one of our recordings ever, one of the things you will hear is, what's all this laughing about? But what you will hear is the background noise of lots of children. And it just seems like the way our building is, I'm going to go with the building. It seems like the way our building is, like a baby in the back can just like leave out a little chirp and it's like, whoo, you know, it comes right to the front. Be that as it may, we have many children, and I see that here this morning as well. Praise God for that. Children are the church of tomorrow, and certainly we must raise them up in the fear of God. And finally, each child must choose. We never take that away. Must choose to make, must make his choice. What will I do with God? What will I do with Jesus Christ? What do I want personally? And that remains. But having said that, we, by being faithful in our willingness to embrace children and to allow God to bring them into our homes, we give God and ourselves and the church a lot of space to work, a lot of possibilities to ensure that the Church of Jesus Christ will continue on. And so let's embrace that. God help us with that. I know that it can be tiring at times, and it can take us, it can send us to bed spent, and then the teething problems wake us up again. And you ladies, you sisters, bear such a heavy burden of that. But God help us. Let's allow God to give us a family. My second thought, practically, of family life building the church, is that family worship connects family to worship in the assembly. So our family worship at home becomes an extension of. It becomes let me just say it this way. Worship should not be a phenomenon only experienced at church. Like, well, this, Our children should learn to sing, and they should learn to sit in a family worship and to be quiet and all of those things. And, you know, some of us have more disruptive family worship than others. You know, do you, how sterile do you want it? And how formal is it going to be? Well, it's family worship, and so it's not uncommon to be interrupted because that story reminded me of this story, you know, those kinds of things happen. And what do you want to sing? And so we have those kind of invitations, right? And so, great, that's as it should be. But my heart here is that our children understand and they connect to the worship that happens here because it's like the worship that we have at home. And the worship that we have at home is more personable because we're going to sing that song. We're going to tell that story. And I like to tell stories. There's nothing wrong with having a Bible story book that you pull down from the shelf. But I can tell you after you've done that for 10 years, those stories become very repetitive, right? So why don't you just tell the story in your own words? Just add a few details that you come to mind, that comes to your mind. And it brings it home. Or just choose a verse from your own reading that you read that morning. And here's a verse that I read, and this is what it teaches us. Those kinds of things, those kinds of nuggets. But what my point is that children need to hear that coming from dad, and they need to hear it coming from mom because it's more personable. It brings it closer to home. Also, I just think about we should sing those children's songs. We sing them again and again. Let's go ahead and sing them. Let's be willing to do that. Let's be excited about that. But then let's also sing at least a hymn or two that blesses the soul of mom and dad. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And if you want to lift your hand up and praise God, feel free to do that. And so our children need that worship and that connection at home. It's building church is what it's doing. That's what we're talking about. It's building church. And so God help us to start again and again as we run into the difficulty of scheduling and life and those kinds of things. Well, my next point, family life. Families build church when they make it to church. Oh, well, that's a simple little statement. Need I say more? Look, there's no doubt. You've a little church here. That helps a lot. I mean, if one of you is missing, you might just cancel the service. I don't know what you do up here. Two families are missing. You know what I'm saying? So there's obvious changes with a smaller group. And a smaller group, you just need to be there more. There is just you know, there's less space for that kind of carnality. But as churches get a little larger, as this church most likely will, there is that that carelessness that can set in. And so let's think about that. I mean, I'm blessed by our attendance Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I mean, there isn't. But Wednesday nights, I don't know what you have for a prayer meeting, whether it's Wednesday night, Wednesday morning, Friday night, I don't know what you do. But those meetings that are throughout the week, and I put this message together and preached it at our church, so I have some more specific sort of burdens that I preached at 4th Avenue, so I don't know this group. I asked this question, what do you want? What do I want? What do we want? We grew up with prayer meetings. Are we going to keep them? I mean, at the end of the day, if we're going to keep them, best if we choose to participate. And if we don't, we're sending a message that part of our tradition and culture doesn't mean much to me. I ask the question, why? And at least think about what we're the signal that we're sending by not participating, because we become kid. Oh, there's plenty of people there anyway. I won't be missed. Oh, but wait a minute. What signal are you sending to the church? What signal are you sending to your children? Hello, wake up. Guess what? Johnny is seeing. He is, it's incredible. And I would like to believe that as a minister of that local body, we tend to make it to, so I didn't make it this past Wednesday night, but we were at mission meeting, down at ministers meeting, right? So that was that story. But otherwise, we're there at those services. And even then, we still face that battle of children saying, well, do we need to go to prayer meeting? Oh, how much more? You just add fuel to that fire if it's in question half the time anyway. So I'm just saying. Wow. Well, let's ask ourselves this question. Do you think your current commitment to your local body is going to show a healthy pattern to your children as they grow up? Culture, habits, and tradition get built around something. They get built around, you are building, your family is building its own set of cultural tradition, those kinds of things. And are they building the church is a fair question to ask. Or are they tearing it down? And just think about what we embrace and what we receive from the stability and the heritage and culture that we build together. It has value. And let's make sure we pass it on the best we can to our family so that they, in turn, will help us to build and keep that alive. Well, let's continue on. Families build church when they treasure its heritage. Psalm 16, verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Look, our heritage isn't perfect. The Mennonite heritage and the larger, there's holes in it. There's places that we can grow. Sometimes those holes can seem quite obvious to us. It's not a perfect culture. There is no perfect church. But can I see the good in my heritage and the good that it has brought into my life? And am I walking it in that heritage today? And am I ready to help my children to walk in it? That's the question that us fathers need to wrestle with in particular. But as families together, husband and wives, we need to look at that. And so we can become so careless. I mean, the casualness that's around us in society is powerful. Its influence is just presses on us. So, are we treasuring the heritage? Heritage and culture. Heritage and culture is built on truth and foundational beliefs, and that's why I don't want to just skip over what is family. The way that God made it up. And I don't want to just skip over what is church and what God has designed, because that's what shapes our beliefs, our convictions. That's why it's worth investing in. But once you step outside of those foundational things, there's a whole lot of other things that make up who we are, like our culture and the way we do things. And there's reason to change things at times, by all means. Not everything needs to stay exactly the way it is, or we end up freezing something that becomes a incredible thing to try to maintain. We don't want to do that. But let's think about what it is that we appreciate. And if we're changing it, why? Why are we changing it? Are we changing it because we're by the best of our abilities and our brotherhood's abilities, endeavoring to just apply the Word of God more completely, more clearly to our current culture and setting? I mean, those are the kind of things we need to work on, but it's so easy. What I'm saying is that I'm just pushing it back against what's so easy for us to just sort of let slip and slide and change just because we're sort of careless about it. And I think we need to be very careful about that. I don't know what your challenges are here. I know that I had a few in mind as I talked to our Fourth Avenue brothers. But you think about that. Families build church when they look at the culture and practice of the Maine and choose to embrace it. Families build church when they look at the culture and practice of the main, of the what's represented by the heart of our church, and choose to embrace it, make it their own. Well, let's go on. Our families build church when they bring reverence with them into church. This is a place where we meet God. This is a place where we meet God. This is a place where the ordinances are practiced. This is a place where confessions take place. This is a place where new birth happens. This is a place where weddings and funerals and in this assembly. I'm not talking about whether it's upstairs or downstairs. I'm talking about in this group. And so we bring reverence here. What happens in the assembly cannot be replaced anywhere. So, I encouraged us at 4th Avenue, let's keep up the pressure on our children to bring order and rest to our service and after services. Yeah, it just takes some maintenance. And we've had a brothers' meetings or two where we all sort of looked at each other and said, you know what? We need to just sort of ratchet it up a little bit. And it's been a good thing. It's helped every time. But, you know, life and pressure. We love to talk to each other. Of course we should. And I don't know. I felt like there was a period of time in my own life where I could hardly talk to people because there was just too many little Johnnies around and running around and had ideas of their own. And how can we? So it takes effort. Let's move on. Families build the church as they bring their unique gifts. I just love that. The gifts that are given in a family like this, in this community. And let's stop for a minute. Let's think about our own families, our own children. How unique some of the gifts are, the personalities are. There's a whole range of real commonalities as well. One of them being selfishness, all of those normal things. But on the other hand, it's amazing to see the gifts in your children, and it's amazing to see those gifts in the church. And the church needs it. Family life builds church when they bring their unique gifts. And one brother is excellent with the Old Testament. Another one, he's got whatever it is that he loves to teach and expound on. And then you just have, you know, anyone from the person who likes to, who just excels up front, and the brother who has finally figured out how best to ventilate the church. I mean, our little 4th Avenue meeting house is an old brick building on the street corner of 4th Avenue, 25th Street of Altoona. Not a lot of ventilation, not a lot of air movement there. Brick building, you know, built in 1926, typical, no insulation kind of a building, and no air conditioning either. That's all right. We don't need air conditioning. We've chosen not to even invest in that. So there it is, and it needs some help. Because I'll tell you, I think there's been a lot of sweating done in that building. But we had a brother who came along into our fellowship, and it wasn't so long after that somebody saw his gifts and put him into the trustee section, and that man has figured out how to handle that building. He does a wonderful job. He's teaching other people how to do it, you know, just by looking on. Oh, you know what? I think he opens those windows. Yeah. It's just little things, but it's unique gifts. He has other gifts, too. But those are the kind of things that come together in a church, in a body. That's what we need each other. We can't figure this all out on our own. We need the example and the witness and the teaching of others. And so it's a wonderful thing. Let's bring them here. Families build churches. They bring their own gifts. And also, church is a place where we develop gifts as well. Do you know what? You really didn't know how well you could teach Sunday school until you were asked by the church. Brother, we're asking you to step up front here and teach Sunday school. And a young man learns that, he may have had some training at school and he may have led singing at school a few times. But guess what? Church says, hey, you're on for a year of leading songs. Do you know what? By the end of the year, that brother has gotten a lot better. Because the church said, we see a gift here. Go ahead and grow it. And so churches do that. They call people up. They call they call upon the women's side, and they call upon the men's side, and so we build church. All right. Families build church when they learn to respect authority. You know, there is authority here. There is a structure. There's organization here. It's just the way it is. Every organization, you can't get around it. And if you want to somehow establish something where there are no, whatever it is, yeah, I'll just let that rest. The point is, where there are people, there is some structure, there is leaders, lead out, appointed, all of those things are part of it. Certainly we see it here. It's New Testament teaches us how it is that we should build and bring authority into our churches and so on. It's a good thing. It's not something to fight against, but rather to appreciate and welcome. And our children need to see that in mom and dad, welcoming that, understanding that, and expecting that, and calling their children to that. Church needs families who understand authority and order. And you know what, parents? We need to have this authority backing us in our homes from time to time as well. It's okay. So you know what? This is what we, our church, our body, the assembly, is asking. This is the way that we're going to walk in. And we help to bring along some of those challenges that God come into our families at time. We're living in an age where authority is being torn down. We don't need less authority. We do need to continually revive good, benevolent, godly authority. We need to encourage that. We need to promote that and develop it in our churches. And family lives help to build that as they embrace it. Well, finally, my last point is family builds church when they recognize it as community. I've talked about community numerous times. Maybe I've driven that point home often enough. But our churches need the community of strong families, and families need the community that church brings. This is our small group. This is our brothers and sisters fighting the good fight of faith in our community. Church life should round us out and make us a better person. It should just sort of take the edge off of some of those rough spots that we have. That's what church life does. That's what and family life is benefiting from it, and family life is helping to grow that as they invest in that. The glow of the church should come back into our homes with us. And we need that light. We need that love. We need the confirmation and blessing of brotherhood. And that's why we choose to embrace it. That's the point. We choose to embrace this community. Well, let me just say this in closing. When Christ is in our homes, when Christ is in our schools, when Christ is in our marriages, when Christ is at the center of our church, we do have a blessed and wonderful heritage to live in and to raise our families in. And finally, we have something to show to the world as well. God bless you all. Let's kneel for you.